This is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Good morning, sports fans! Great to have you here for a big Tuesday show as the Saints go marching in to the Lombardi Trophy. As the guy said on the radio, it's time to party with the Lombardi here on Locks of the Week Radio. I'm David here. This is Andrew Jacobson. And a few messages about this game. It was electric. It was fantastic. I'm going to get into more detail in a minute, but who called it? Who called it?
Mate, props to you, buddy, for last week you and me were here on the podcast doing the Super Bowl preview. And I said I thought the Colts were going to win 31-21. You said you thought the Saints were going to win 31-21.
Final score, 31-17. The clincher, a Peyton Manning interception that went to the house from caught by Tracy Porter and returned all the way. Whoa. I mean, we're talking about a team that everybody anointed as the team to beat. Okay, people are like, well, half the people didn't pick them. But you know in the back of their mind, like, well, yeah, I'm going to pick them, but just out of spite. Like, I think maybe they'll get lucky. I actually thought they were pretty good. I thought they were a good team. I thought that they had the better talent. They were very talented. They had good people on defense. It wasn't great defense. We knew that. But their offense was spectacular throughout the season, pretty good throughout the playoffs. They played tough teams. I said, this is the better team. And people just were like, oh, man, it'd be a dark day in hell before the Saints win the game. Well, get your coats out, everybody. Get your furnace ready, because it's fucking freezing in New Orleans tonight, baby. Wait, that don't make sense. In hell tonight. Saints are marching in. They've won the championship trophy. Could you imagine that parade, whether they have it on Bourbon Street or wherever it is? Holy moly.
That's going to be tomorrow. Yeah, it was a good prediction by you. You weren't right about everything. Let's not go crazy here, Dave. First of all, who earlier this season said the Colts wouldn't even make the playoffs? Make the playoffs this year.
You're picking nits. I mean, we're not talking.
And then
who said we've had
two really good Super Bowls in a row? There's no way this year's game's going to be any good. It's going to be horrible. It's impossible to have three good Super Bowls in a row. But here we did.
Here we are.
And that's pretty amazing when you think about it. Never in history have there been three Super Bowls like this, fourth quarter, game still, you know, up for grabs for either team. We're really getting lucky here with these Super Bowls.
We are. And speaking of, and a lot of history being made on this weekend. Now, it's the first time that you had two number one seeds since 1993. The first ever championship for New Orleans in their first ever Super Bowl appearance for their franchise. And a world record, 106 million people watched the game. The highest rated television event ever.
Ever. Yeah.
It's amazing.
And they said they had at one point during the game, there was like 150 some odd people tuned in. So not the whole time through the game, but at certain moments of the game, there would be up to 150 million people were watching the game.
150 mil. I mean, you can't even the whole country
those
is
are
like
U.S.
250 million.
Numbers.
Yeah, those are just U.S. numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wonder internationally how many people. See, that's the thing that's hard with the Super Bowl. It's such a big event here. Talked about. It's all over. I wonder where other countries.
I mean, who cares? I mean, it's an American event for Americans by Americans.
But
that's
they broadcast it to other countries. They do a full broadcast. They have other.
It's got some relative interest in other countries. I mean, Latin America, I'm sure, is all over. You know, Europe's got a little bit of it. You know.
What would be the equivalent of Europe's Super Bowl? Do they have one? The Soccer Bowl?
For goodness sake.
But that's every 4 years, though. That's like the Olympics. That's like the Olympics. It's kind of big
difference
for everybody.
See, now they're trying to cut my mic out because of the World Cup talk. Here we go. You know, no, but seriously, no, the World Cup is it. I mean, it's every 4 years.
So you're saying they don't have the equivalent?
No, you know what? But they have something every year. Like every year, like for instance, on 2 years from now, I think it'll be the UEFA Cup. And 2 years from then, it'll be some other cup. And so, like, yeah, UEFA Cup is a Euro Cup, like Europe's version of the World Cup. Just Europe.
With soccer, though. Don't they have, like, a soccer championship game every year?
Well, I would say that in each respect, in like, the European leagues, they have their championships. You know, like, the La Liga in Spain, I'm sure it's huge. It's, like, monstrous ratings. And then the Premier League in England and the UK, huge also.
Yeah.
And, you know, in Guyana, I'm sure they have some kind of tiddlywink soccer tournament, which is awesome, you know?
But it was a good game last night.
Yeah, it was a really good
game. It was a good game. It's one of those games that's weird because the final score, 31-17, doesn't – you just look at that score and you go, oh, Saints blew them out. But really not. I mean, no. It really was a much closer game than what the final score indicates
that
it was.
You'll get that in the NFL. I mean, you'll get games where it's like, well, this was pretty close. No, it wasn't. But what you had was Super Bowl 39 – when the Patriots won by 3 points, but it really wasn't that good of a game.
Or you have, like, even the Cowboys and the Steelers game, Super Bowl 13.
You keep bringing that up.
I'm telling you, it's overrated. It's an overrated Super Bowl. I've seen
even
the game.
It was a good game just because it was a bunch of points. It was a good game.
It was an okay game at best.
It got decided late yesterday.
I'm watching the NFL Network yesterday, and the guy ranks as like the number 7th best Super Bowl all time. I'm like, what the heck is going on? Are these people just looking at the final score?
It was a great game. You didn't see the whole game?
I've seen the whole game. I have it. I own it.
I don't know why you don't think that.
It's an okay game. It's an okay game. It was not a particularly close game. The final score was 3 points. But that was really not a 3-point game.
It was 38.
The Steelers had a pretty nice little lead there in that football game in the fourth quarter. It was not in doubt.
But
yesterday's game was the opposite. Yesterday's game looks like a blowout, but it was actually really close.
But
game
wasn't
decided until about 3 minutes left.
But you know, it started out 10-0 Colts. I think a lot of people thought it was over, and I had to say I was one of those people, but only momentarily.
I sent that text. I would agree. I was sitting there, and you and me were texting,
And
I was kind of like, is it too early to say it's over? I mean, the Saints looked dead there for that first quarter. I mean, the Colts ran all over. I think the Saints ran, what, 3 or 4 plays in the first quarter or 6 or something? I mean, they didn't get a first down. Meanwhile, the Colts had a 96-yard touchdown drive where they scored the touchdown there and took the lead 10-0. And, I mean, it was really looking bad right there. It looked like one of these Super Bowls where the underdog team wasn't going to show up.
It really did. And I think most people, even the Saints themselves, felt the same way. But they stuck with the run. They started running the ball. And they did a reasonably good job mixing up the coverage and the blitzes. We were out talking about the last week. What's going to happen? Are they going to blitz or are they going to cover? And you said don't blitz. I said blitz. But you know what they ended up doing? They ended up doing both.
Yeah.
They just mixed the whole thing around.
They really mixed it up quite a bit through the whole game. Did a really great job. Peyton beat them a few times. They got some big plays, the Colts did. But overall, you know, they didn't get the points on the board. And what's crazy to think, it was 10-0. Saints go on to win at 31-17. They outscored the Colts the final three quarters, 31-7. I mean, the Saints just really took over that football game.
Yeah, definitely. With 25 second-half points, by the way, including a try for two, which was somewhat – someone could have questioned it, but I thought it was a good move. I mean, at the time, it was about five minutes left?
They definitely should have gone for two there. I like that call. To me, that was a no-brainer decision. 5 minutes left in the game. You're up by five versus being up by six. There's not a lot of difference with that much time on the clock.
No, no.
You want to score, and then at that point, they pushed the lead up to 7, so the Colts at best could go down and score a touchdown because you know they weren't going to go for two if they did. So at best, they could tie it. That was great play, fascinating play because of the replay. And did he catch it? Did he have it? Did the guy knock it out? They originally called it incomplete, but then overturned it on the replay, and kind of one of those kind of like it could go either way kind of deals, you know. But yeah, and I really thought at that point, I thought the Colts were going to get the ball with 5 minutes left. I really truly thought Peyton Manning was going to go down, and it looked like it. I mean, the first few plays of that drive was like 10 yards here, 9 yards, 8 yards, 10 yards. They were moving the ball very quickly down the field there, and then of course Peyton threw the interception, and that was it.
That was that. But, you know, here's what I thought. A couple of things about that. You know, with 5:33, I thought there was too much time for Peyton Manning. Too much time. You know, if he had like 3 or 2 minutes left, he probably had a better shot at it because he could have really run that two-minute drill. I just thought there was too much time left for Peyton Manning.
I don't think that was so much the case because they were moving the ball very well. I think, you know, what the advantage was for the Saints was Peyton could go down the field, score to tie it, and you know you're going to get the ball back with time on the clock to possibly
I really thought that's what was going to happen. I really thought Peyton's probably going to score. There's going to be about 2 minutes left. The Saints are going to have the ball, and the Saints are going to have a chance to go down here and get some points, kick a field goal maybe, and win
it
the football
game.
I really thought that's where we were headed
as
that drive was going along.
Oh, no question. I mean, it seemed inevitable, didn't it? You just had that sinking feeling, just like it was a week ago when Brett Favre was driving that Vikings team down the field.
Yep.
It just seemed inevitable they were going to score something.
And the same guy ended the both drives.
Tracy Porter, who we were just kicking around the whole game and during the NFC Championship game. Remember that, Andrew? We were watching this thing at your family's house, and we were just kicking that guy to shreds, and he saved the game, and he saves the game here, although it wasn't really saving the game, it would have tied, but he basically clinched the game himself.
Yeah, he definitely clinched it, yeah.
Took it to the house. It was incredible. But you know one other thing about that play that I want to bring up that maybe no one else has? I feel like two injuries did have a pretty significant impact on the game. Freeney, even though he played well in the first half, stiffened up and really didn't do much in the second half. I had a feeling that was going to happen because the halftime was too long and his ankle was going to stiffen up.
Well, that's what they're saying. They're
just
saying
that wasn't
that
effective.
He really played much, much, much better than I thought he was.
Yeah.
Early in that football game, really was a factor. Early in the first half, Breeze, you know, had decent amount of time, but Freeney was getting the push a little bit and, you know, got to him once for a sack, but he was kind of around him. And then
he was.
The second half starts, and he's on the sideline. I mean, the onside kick had a little bit to do with that. But he's on the sideline and never got back really into the flow of the game. They're saying that what they really kind of think happened there was Freeney's ankle stiffened up, and he couldn't get it going in the second half.
Yeah, and it was very predictable. I mean, when you think about it, there's no way a guy's going to come back from something that severe and play like that for the whole game. There's no way. Now, number two. When Reggie Wayne re-aggravated his knee during practice on Friday, that was huge news, and people just did not understand that. It didn't get nearly the attention that Freeney did. I thought that was huge news, and I think that may have been the difference in that interception because he didn't cut into his route in his usual speed, and he wasn't there when the ball was supposed to be there, hence Tracy Porter to the house.
Yeah, I mean, we got to think about it here. Reggie Wayne hasn't been healthy kind of much of the last part of the season here and the playoffs. I mean, he wasn't practicing going into the Jets game that much. He wasn't practicing very much going into the Ravens game. So he's had this bum knee for a while. You know, how much maybe Friday's practice really dealt with it, I don't know. I don't think it was a big deal because I don't think it had too much of an impact. Although, on the interception, he certainly didn't break very well on it. I'm not sure if necessarily having it Friday was the reason or if it was just kind of one of those things where the knee wasn't particularly helpful to begin with.
Or, in addition to that, maybe Reggie Wayne is a wuss. I mean, for goodness sake, he was trying to avoid being a hit. He was like, oh, now they're going to hit me. I don't want to get in.
No, I don't think that's
the case. I don't know about that.
Reggie Wayne seems like a pretty good tough receiver.
The thought is there, though. I mean, you know, you think about the New Orleans wide receivers. You never think of them as guys like Hines Ward, for example. You don't think of him as like Randy Moss who could take a hit.
He
could
have done more, though, on that play.
Or T.O., you know.
He could have done more.
He could have done more. I just thought
he could have done a little bit more on that play. Not to maybe keep it from being intercepted, but maybe in tackling the guy.
Yeah.
Which even if he had done that, if Indianapolis tackles Porter, I mean, with 3 minutes to go, they still had all their timeouts. So they would have been probably able to stop the Saints, maybe get the ball back, you know, and then give Peyton one last chance. But the fact that he returned that all the way, at that point, the game was over.
Yeah, that was it. I mean, he quit on the play. I mean, you could tell. I mean, Porter was halfway across to the goal line, halfway from where he caught the ball to the goal line, and Wayne was like 30 yards behind him.
Well, it's
it
tough.
It was unbelievable.
It's tough when you have your momentum going one way and the other guy's coming full speed the other way. He's obviously going to get a jump. There wasn't much
Reggie Wayne was going to attack the guy. Well, no, you're right. Yeah. No, with his knee, it would have been tough,
If he was going to get him, he would have gotten him right there where he caught the ball and would have been able to tackle him right there. But
yeah. It was just.
I think he was a little surprised, probably, that the guy had just cut off the route like that. He probably was, you know, he's turning around, he's looking at Peyton, and all of a sudden he gets cut off right when the ball's getting to him, you know. So a lot of times it's just the element of surprise gets you at that point.
And speaking of surprise, I mean, this is like one of the most game changing, shocking, I guess you could say, memorable moments in sports history. Kind of like a a game losing play. It's going to be right up there. And I think this is true. It's going to be right up there with like Scott Norwood's missed field goal, right up there with Chris Webber's botched timeout call, which didn't exist.
Well, I think the cool
Phil
thing.
Phil Buckner's thing.
The thing you think about is after a Super Bowl and when we look back, you don't remember necessarily the whole game, but you remember parts of the game and you remember important pieces of a game. You know, 49ers, Super Bowl 23, Joe Montana passed to John Taylor. Like, you remember that. You know, you can remember, like, little snapshots of the game. So I think the snapshots from last night, I think everybody's going to remember the Manning interception that was returned for a touchdown.
Oh, no doubt.
That's definitely a memory. I think a lot of people remember the onside kick, too. I think that kind of became a big moment in the game. You know, I think people kind of remember that. You know, things like that. They'll remember those types of things. I think that's what's going to be the kind of lasting memories of this game.
Without a doubt. And
like the goal line stand where the Colts kind of stopped to say, I don't think a lot of people are going to remember that, you know. But they're definitely going to remember, I think, the other two.
Ooh, yeah, for years to come, generations, I think, especially with the interception. This one play has taken so much of a hit on Peyton Manning's career. We will not even realize the repercussions of this for another 10 years.
Well, that's the thing that's so interesting. So much leading into this game was Peyton Manning. I mean, all the networks, NFL Network, ESPN. It was all Peyton Manning, and so much hype about him possibly now seeing him become the greatest quarterback of all time.
Oh, boy.
He lost a lot in that game yesterday. He lost not only the Super Bowl, but he lost a chance to jump up to that next tier of quarterbacks. When you think of like Aikman, you think of like Montana and Bradshaw, and maybe even Brady, who has won three Super Bowls. You know, he certainly lost to the Giants, and that knocked Brady down a little bit too, that loss to the Giants. But certainly the loss yesterday and the way that it happened, the throw, the interception, that's kind of, everybody looks at that as that's on the quarterback, you know. His rep took a big hit, and for him to, it's going to take a little bit, you know, more work now for him to get back up to that level of greatest quarterbacks of all time.
I don't know if he will either. I mean, the way I saw it, I thought he was already there with Montana, with Unitas, with, did you say Elway?
No.
Good.
Bradshaw,
and, you know, none of these guys had a game-losing interception like that. None of them. You know, and that's what really hurts Manning in this situation. I mean, you know, no matter what he does the rest of his career, even if he wins like another Super Bowl, people are going to say, oh, yeah, but he threw that interception when he could have won it.
I don't know. I think if he wins a Super Bowl or gets there and is able to win one again, that will redo a lot of the damage that this one did or that moment.
You know, it's possible.
And the crazy thing about it is he was playing well. Manning was having a very good game.
Yeah.
You know, they even showed in the fourth quarter at one point, both quarterback ratings were over 100. They had very similar numbers, you know, to a certain degree. And he was playing very well, and it certainly looked like, if anything, we were going to see Peyton Manning be Peyton Manning and drive his team down the field and tie the football game up. And all of a sudden, that one play happened, and that did it.
That's what's so inexplicable about the play, though. That's what adds the mystique of it. It's just that nobody expected it.
Yeah.
Nobody. Well, I kind of like, you know, the Saints have gone a while without an interception. Uh-oh. You know, but other than that, nobody expected that play. I mean,
the other great thing about the game last night, we kind of talked about earlier today, was just the length of it. It went by so quick.
Yeah.
It had such tremendous flow to the game last night. Both offenses were kind of moving the ball a little bit. We didn't have a ton of penalties, unlike a certain Super Bowl a few years ago. Refs kind of got in the way. But no, as Dave shakes his head. So, you know, weren't a lot of penalties. It was a pretty clean game. Weren't a lot of turnovers either. I mean, that was the only one of the entire game, was that one pick right at the end. Outside of that, very clean football game by actually both teams.
It's one of the better played games, from that standpoint, one of the better played games that I can remember in Super Bowl history. You're often faced with a lot of ugly games, sloppy games, and it's good to see that. You know, interesting
point about the turnovers. You know, the Saints feast off of turnovers, but they didn't have one until the very end.
And yet they hung around in this game, and they stuck with it, and even though they didn't get their usual, like, two or three turnovers, they still built their way back. Give them credit.
Yeah, it's tied for the second best comeback for a team to win a Super Bowl. We've seen other teams down by more than 10. Even last year, Arizona was down what? I think it was 20-7. Is that right? I think it was 20-7 when Arizona came back and then eventually took the lead in that football game. But they ultimately lost. The Saints in this game go from, you know, 10 down and win the game and tie the Redskins against the Broncos a number of years ago. But tied for the biggest comeback in a Super Bowl for a team to win. So
it is really remarkable that it was that they did, were down 10. I mean, teams in the Super Bowl almost never make a comeback. They almost never make a comeback, and then basically what happened was that, you know, the resolve is unparalleled. I mean, to do that in that pressure situation is remarkable. So a big day for the Saints. New Orleans Saints again victorious for the first time. It's great for the city, great for the state of Louisiana. Wow.
You know, the one thing about yesterday's game that was interesting, the onside kick after the half, and everybody obviously has kind of talked about that and the whole thing, they planned this out. But what's really interesting, everybody's talking today about what a momentum change that was. What a big momentum swing
it
was.
But it was. I mean, it changed. That was a turning point of the game.
You know, it's interesting.
I really thought that.
I don't really think that, though.
Why is this?
Certainly it was a big moment of the game. No question about it. Oh, and it was a crazy call in the sense that tremendous guts to do it. Because if it doesn't work, it's one of those things. You look brilliant if it works, and you look completely like a moron if it doesn't. I mean, if that play did not work.
Come on. You
kidding me? Absolutely. People would be all over Sean Payton if that didn't work and the Colts got the ball and went down and scored a touchdown. Absolutely.
And they would have said, like, you know, well, that was a gutsy play.
No,
and it didn't
they would
work
have
yet.
Said, it's reckless in a Super Bowl that early. You don't do it.
You gotta be kidding me. People knew this going in that Sean Payton would make that decision.
That would have been the reaction, Dave. I'm just telling you, that would have been the reaction.
Well, you know, people are so reactive,
but here's
reactionary
why,
in the media.
Well, here's why I'm saying that. It was, to me, certainly a big play, but not necessarily like the turning point of the game. Saints get the ball. They go down, obviously, and score the touchdown. Take the lead. What does Indy do? Indy gets the ball back and goes down the field and scores. I think that will be the thing a lot of people forget about that play is Indy, right after that had happened, got the ball and went down and scored a touchdown to regain the lead. I think a lot of that's kind of getting lost. A lot of people, what a momentum change. What a swing for the Saints. And from there, and they think, from there, the Saints went down and scored, and then it was their game throughout. That's actually not the case. They went down and scored. Indianapolis got the ball. Then they went down and scored a touchdown. It wasn't this huge momentum. I mean, Indy got all the momentum back after that, but it was a good tone setter, I think. I think it was that. But, was it a key play of the game? Did it really turn the game? It really didn't. I mean, certainly did turn the game in a sense that it gave the Saints a little momentum and they turned it into a touchdown. But everybody seems to forget now the Colts got the ball
on the next
possession and they went down and scored and took the lead back.
But that doesn't mean that they didn't take control of the game, though, even though the Colts scored on it. Okay, fine. They didn't score a touchdown on the drive. But just because we lost the lead doesn't mean that it wasn't a game changer. If you think about it, like you said, what if they didn't pull it off? What if the Colts had it and then they suddenly were up 17-0? That's a major psychological advantage.
Well, it would have been. It was 10-6 at that time. If they would have scored, it would have been 17-6. So it would have been an 11-point lead.
And the Saints did score on that drive.
Right.
It was a field goal, but they scored on that drive.
But what I'm saying is the Colts then got the ball right back,
I think,
and they went down and scored.
It gave them confidence, though. It gave the Saints confidence. So even if the Saints came back and scored, it looked like they had a chance in this game.
It was a big play. I'm not doubting the fact that it was a big play. It was a gutsy call.
That's not the dispute.
It was a big play.
Yeah.
But was it the big game-changing play?
Well,
I'm not sure it was. It was definitely a big play in the game,
goodness.
But it wasn't like the Saints got the ball and then they just took the lead and they had to lead the rest of the game. The Colts ultimately got the ball later and scored on it.
But the alternative would have been they kick it off the Colts, and then they score, and they're up 17-6.
Right,
which would have been a deal breaker. I think it would have broken their back.
I'm saying it was a big play in the game, but
and how is that not changing the game?
Then you could say every big play changes the game.
They're talking about it in context. I mean, it was the start of the second half, you know.
But Dave, people are saying this was the play of the game. This is what, you know, and it was a great play. No question about it. It was a great move, and it really paid off tremendously well for the Saints. But I don't know if it was what everybody's claiming is like, the play of the game. It was the big thing for the Saints and the big momentum switch. you know, the Colts went down and scored later. You know, I mean, it was still – the Colts had a one-point lead going to the fourth quarter. It was still very much teetering both ways there at that time of the game.
Well, look, if we had a five-hour show in New York, we could talk about this for another hour, but we're going to have to cut it off here. Listen, you know, this is one of the better coaching performances, maybe the best I've seen this decade – well, not this decade, but the last 5 years. It might have been one of the better coaching performances by Sean Payton, that I've ever seen from him. And he did a great job this game. He made a lot of gutsy decisions, and like you said, if they didn't work out, people would be slamming him against the Colts.
Yeah.
But they worked out. But the fact that he made them, you can't fault a guy for just trying to be shrewd and using strategy. It was great.
Well, I mean, and he did it in the way that he did it was, even with the whole kickoff and the onside kick, telling his team for 2 weeks, we're going to do this, you know, gives so much confidence to the players that they know their coach is going to call this game to win. And that might have been a problem that did in the Colts. If you remember, the Colts stopped the Saints at the goal line late in the second half or in the second quarter. Colts get the ball then, and they ran three straight running plays, and then ultimately had to punt it back to the Saints, who got the ball and were able to get a field goal right before half. The Colts went super conservative right there. Not trying to say that they should have gone all out and thrown the ball over the field and tried to go down and put points on the board, but they didn't even really try that hard to get a first down.
Well, it helped them with field position. It tremendously helped the Saints with field position.
And if anything, that worked better for them because had they actually kicked the field goal, so let's say on the fourth down they kicked the field goal, then the Colts get the ball with probably decent field position with 2 minutes to go, and I'm willing to bet the Colts probably make a good run there to get some points on the board. So instead of it being maybe 10-6 at half, maybe it's 13-6 or maybe even 17-6 at that point. So the fact that they didn't score the touchdown and didn't go for the field goal might have actually benefited them on the other side, as it kept the Colts from having any opportunity to score that rest of the half.
And this is just part of what made Sean Payton's, you know, work, including Greg Williams as defensive coordinator, just fantastic over yesterday or you know, the previous night's game. It's been really a treat to watch. It's rare when you get a coaching job that's like, wow, he did pretty good. You never say that about a coach during a game. Almost never.
I'm trying to think of the last one in the Super Bowl that I can think of that was really that good. I mean,
you know, you could say Tom Coughlin, Super Bowl 42.
That was a pretty good one.
That was good. You know, they really committed to
could
that
say
pass
Bill
rush.
Belichick against the Rams a number of years ago when they had that good old
Super
offense.
Super Bowl 2001 season.
Every once in a while you get it where you watch a game like that and you really say a coach really made a difference in that football game. And I think in yesterday's game, Sean Payton was a big difference for the Saints, and having him in the way that he attacked yesterday.
It's been a great finish to a good season in the NFL.
Changing from great to good, right?
I changed from great to good. You know why?
Because the Steelers didn't make the playoffs.
No, it didn't have anything to do with that. I mean, I don't think that affects my enjoyment of the postseason. I just think of what's happening in the future. You know, you've got a salary cap abolished year, so there'll be no salary cap. You've got continuous labor strife between the players and the owners. They can't get it together. They're trying to meet now. But I just feel like there's going to be a lockout in 2011 or in 2011 season.
Dave, the doom and gloom
it's
guy.
It's tough to really think much optimism when you see that in the future.
Well, we do know we have a football season next year.
Yeah, but it's going to be a circus, man. I mean, with no salary cap, it's going to be everybody's out for themselves. It's going to be a terrible season. It's going to be a ridiculous season. Not bad.
There's not many players in the market, though. That's the thing. I mean, it's not like there's guys out there. Teams go out and run around and spend a lot of cash. I can't even name you the top free agent this year. I mean, there's just not a lot of big names.
We haven't received the reports yet. We'll get some free agents this year. I'm sure of it. But the point is,
I think it'll be fine. I really don't think that will have too much of an impact next year.
That's something to worry about another time. This has been, again, just a Super Bowl Sunday for the ages. And I'm telling you, you know, now that we've had three in a row like this that have been so captivating, I think, to the American public, it's really not – it's just going to be sad to see the season go, to see it end like the way it has. But it's ended on a good note.
It was a great end. The last three, I mean, have been really impressive Super Bowls, really fun games. I mean, we had the big upset, Giants over the Patriots. Last year's game, which was a good game, in the end was obviously very exciting, the way the Cardinals just all of a sudden came out of nowhere there in the fourth quarter. And this game, which was very evenly matched. I mean, it was a one-point game going into the fourth quarter, and I really thought we were heading 24-24. I really thought that's where that game was going to go.
Yep.
And the one thing we have not ever seen is overtime in a Super Bowl game. Still, we've gotten close.
We're never going to see it at this point. I mean,
never say never, Dan.
There will be an overtime. Maybe it'll happen one day. It may happen in a few years, but it's so funny how that always works. It never seems to pan out.
I really thought yesterday.
And it gets really close. Every, you know.
Indy driving down there, I thought we were going to see it. I thought we had a good chance of it yesterday. Yeah. We had a good chance of it last year. Remember when the Steelers and the Cardinals, certainly. The Steelers were down by three. They're late. If, you know, if Cardinals made a few more stops there, they, you know, Steelers might have had to settle for a field goal. Instead, they got the touchdown to Holmes. We've seen some games where they've been close in the very last few minutes, and it's been tied, and it still wound up to never go into overtime. That's pretty incredible.
It is. So it's come to this. 44 years of Super Bowl fun and magic over the years. Hopefully we'll be around to see 44 more. It's been fun, Andrew, this football season.
It has, Dave. I guess this is it for me. I'm off the show.
No.
Until September or August. Is that right?
No. Well, yeah, pretty much. You're going to be done with this show. Unless you want to come in occasionally and talk about baseball for some you know, random things.
I might jump in for the baseball thing. NFL draft. Can I come in for the NFL draft?
Sure.
That probably won't be very interesting.
It's going to be mostly you because I'm just going to be like, yeah, all right. But yeah, it's been fun. So NFL season in the books. We move from that to college basketball and some other sports, which will be nameless. But we'll get into those with lots of guests coming up later this week. And then for the rest of the year until baseball starts, you know, we're going to be an interesting hodgepodge. So stay tuned for all that. Thanks for listening. Andrew, thanks for joining me again.
No problem, Dave. I'll see you in September.
All right. And until then, we'll see all you guys next time.